a production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
House Education will now come to order. I'm Representative Jacqueline Sly, Chair of House Education Committee. We greet our internet listeners, and we welcome each one of you here in the room today also to House Education Committee. Reminder to shut off the cell phones. We had an incident last time, and I do have a bag of jerky here, but I gave the gentleman a little reprieve because we had the room completely full, and I knew that Pierre would not have enough jerky to be able to provide for all those people. Plus, they would never be back again, so they don't know we're eating jerky, and they missed out. And we will have that passed out at a later time. If you plan to testify, be sure to sign in. And if you are a lobbyist, you need to be wearing a badge of the group that you are representing. Introduction of the pages. Please come forward and share who you are.
My name's Cannon Olson, and I'm from Sturgis.
Welcome.
Hi, my name is Sydney Nyman, and I'm also from Sturgis.
Oh, friends got to come into the same room today. You are lucky, aren't you? Thank you. Secretary will call the roll.
Representatives Bartling.
Here.
Campbell.
Here.
Eklund.
Here.
Hawks.
Here.
Johns.
Here.
Kaiser. May. Ring.
Here.
Schaefer.
Here.
Stevens.
Here.
Tolson.
I am here.
Tyler. Wick.
Not here now.
Hager.
Here.
And Sly.
Here.
And we have a quorum.
Thank you, Madam Secretary. We have approval of the minutes from our last meeting. Any motions?
Second.
Moved by Representative Stevens, seconded by Representative Hager. Any changes or additions? Is there all those in favor say aye?
Aye.
Those opposed, the same sign. Minutes are approved. Just a reminder that if you have any handouts, the pages will distribute them, even if you have amendments also. Questions will be addressed through the chair as usual. And we will begin today, unless if there's other things that need to be talked about. We have quite a few members gone today. I had a phone call from Representative May, and she had some car difficulties, so she'll be joining us. I think we have some people with bills, so we'll kind of play it by ear for action on bills and see what happens with that. With three gone, that can make a difference. So, okay, House Bill 1075, provide for public notice of certain hearings conducted by the Board of Education and to require that the hearings be conducted at least 60 days apart. Any proponents? Proponents to House Bill 1075.
Thank you, Madam Chair. My name is State Representative Jim Bolin. I'm from Canton, representing District 16. I represent all of Union County and the southern rural portion of Lincoln County. And if I may comment, you know, the role-taking there sometimes reminded me of my first period history class in the past. So that was interesting. Today, I bring before you House Bill 1075, a law that's designed to put specificity into this section of the law. Now, in 2012, this section of the code was added in a compromise between myself and the Department of Education in regards to the Common Core nationalized standards. The law that was passed in 2012 set up four public hearings before any further standards could be adopted. It has nothing to do with the math and the English that currently exist, but the law that was passed, the bill that was passed in 2012 with almost no dissenting votes in either house of the legislature, That bill said that for the development of any further or the passage of any further standards by the State Board of Education, there needed to be four public hearings held across the state of South Dakota within a period of 1 year. And those locations, of course, were Rapid City, Pierre, Aberdeen, and Sioux Falls, our largest communities, and, of course, the state capital here in the central portion of the state. My original bill, if you'd go back and check the record, my original bill called for a two-year process. I was willing to compromise, and along with the department, and that was reduced down to one. And again, this bill was passed again with almost no opposition in 2012. This bill, House Bill 1075 here in the 2014 session, is designed to prevent a process or a possibility where these four public hearings could be held in a compressed time period and somehow short circuit the chronological time when these hearings could be held. Under the current statute, theoretically, a public hearing could be held in Rapid City on Monday, in Pier on Wednesday, in Aberdeen on Friday, and in Sioux Falls on the following Tuesday, and in a period of 8 days, this entire process, which is designed to allow more public hearings and to give us time to contemplate and to think again about the adoption of any further standards, this whole process could potentially be compressed into a very short chronological period of time, and it could all be completed in a relatively short period of time. The design of the original bill, again, was to have a year-long or a near year-long process. I see this bill simply as a cleanup bill that would put into law the original intent of the bill passed, again, with virtually no opposition in 2012. So again, what this bill does is to bring specificity and just a particular process to the idea and the passage of the previous bill that talked about these four public hearings. So I'd encourage you to pass this bill. It is similar to Senate Bill 64. I think I'll wait for any comments on Senate Bill 64 until my opportunity or potential opportunity for rebuttal after all the testimony's taken. So thank you very much.
Thank you. Proponents. Proponents for House Bill 1075. Good morning.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, Dale Barcher, Executive Director of the Family Heritage Alliance Action. We rise in support of this measure. The reason why we support this is we think it is a measured bill. If you have four meetings stacked closely together, there may be questions, issues that come up in the first session that need more time, more research to come up with answers in the second session. If it is held the day after or 2 days after, there's not the time to bring in expert testimony or additional information or research. You need to have some time between each meeting, and we certainly would ask your support of this bill. Thank you.
Thank you. Proponents. Welcome.
Thank you. Good morning, Madam Chair and members of the House Education Committee. My name is Mark Chase, and I'm the president of the South Dakota Family Policy Council. We rise this morning in support of the bill before you, HB 1075, because what this bill is addressing, namely public hearings before adopting any further common court standards, is long overdue. We have all been told over and over again that the Common Core state standards were state-led, state-initiative standards. In other words, we are to believe that 46 states, because that is how many states have adopted the Common Core state standards, both took the lead and initiated the current form of what we now know as the Common Core state standards. The truth of the matter is that the Common Core state standards were neither state-led nor initiated by the people of this great state. The Common Core state standards were adopted in June of 2009 by 46 states. In fact, Bill Gates, the primary financial contributor to the Common Core state standards, gave a speech.
Sir, could you keep it relevant to House Bill 1075?
Yes, I'm getting right there.
Okay,
yep,
thank you.
I'm getting right there. He gave a speech at the July 28, 2009 National Conference of State Legislators, and in that speech he said, and I quote, "Last month, 46 governors and chief state school officers made a public commitment to embrace those standards." Let me help you understand what he said. Before even seeing the standards, in fact, the standards had not even been fully written at the time of their making this commitment. Before even formally filling out any application or the No Child Left Behind waiver, 46 governors and chief state school officers agreed to adopt, or in the words of Bill Gates, embrace these standards for the entire state. How is it then that we call these standards math and language arts, in particular state-led and state-initiated? What part did the people of this great state play in leading the way and initiating and adopting these standards? The bill before you, HB 1075, is not a perfect bill, but is a bill we support because it seeks to put the people, especially the parents of school-aged children, back into the equation of state-led and state-initiated standards. Therefore, we urge you to vote yes and move this bill to the House floor for debate. Thank you.
Thank you. Proponents. Good morning.
Good morning, Madam Chair, members of the committee. My name is Cindy Flackel, and I'm a registered lobbyist for Concerned Women for America Legislative Action Committee. Just as one example of prescribing further evaluation of standards before adoption, in May 2013, Indiana Governor Mike Pence suspended his state's adoption of education content standards by signing a pause bill into law, which stops the implementation of the standards until state agencies, teachers, and taxpayers better understand what is at stake. We as a state can never be too cautious when making decisions about educating our South Dakota children. Parents are the primary educators of their own children and as such deserve ample opportunity to be informed and voice their opinions regarding who assists in educating their children and just what principles and philosophies of education are utilized, as well as to understand what ends are expected from such educational opportunities. By implementing untested and unvetted standards, both students and teachers are participating in an absolute experiment. A decision that radically alters the education of our children should be weighed much more carefully. HB 1075 is a common sense bill, and I urge your support. Thank you.
Thank you. Other proponents? Proponents for House Bill 1075. Other proponents? Seeing none, opponents. Opponents. Good morning.
Good morning, Madam Chair, members of the committee. Melody Schaaf, Department of Ed. I come in, not in opposition to the concept. We want some clarification. I want to explain the difference between what you heard last week, Senate Bill 64, which basically did the same thing, but we think that it had a broader impact on what we are trying to do. So I'm going to take you back a little bit. 64 did some things that this bill won't. So they're both, I think, trying to accomplish the same thing. But back in 64, it required, again, that we had the four public hearings, which we testified in support of. It also included that it would prohibit any multi-state standards until July 1, 2016, which this bill does not do. So I think that that might be a piece that we feel further takes forward what we're trying to accomplish here. Also, in 64, it did require hearings on any standards. This is very specific to multi-state standards. And we've already adopted that process in the Department of Education. We are doing four public hearings. And again, I think that in 64, it required that it was over a six-month period, but as we're doing the math, it is basically equivalent to that 60 days. So right now, if you were to look at the Department of Ed website, our public hearings are in alignment with our Board of Ed, and our Board of Ed meets every 2 months, which is approximately 60 days. We are more than willing to adjust that. We have one, we were just looking yesterday, and we have 58 days between the one and I think 59 and so forth. But we feel that we're accomplishing the same thing, and so we're concerned about two bills being in conflict. Again, conceptually, we believe strongly this is important to do, that we have the four public hearings, and that we're doing them in multi-cities, that we spread them out over a period of time. So again, we're really not in opposition to the bill. We just feel that the bill that was previously passed gave more clarity. To have two different bills on the books would be confusing as well. And then in addition, I think if you look at the amount of time required for advance notice, this only requires 14 days, and typically our public hearing requirements require us for 30 days. So we do feel that you know, that wide and targeted notice that we currently follow under public hearing laws, as well as what was mentioned in 64, is a bit broader. So, again, conceptually, we stand in support of what we're trying to accomplish here. We just want to make sure we don't have two conflicting bills on the books, and also we feel that 64 gave more clarity to what we're trying to accomplish. So we do stand in opposition with those clarities.
Thank you. Other opponents? Opponents for House Bill 1075? Any opponents? Seeing none, the chair closes testimony and we move into rebuttal.
Well, thank you, Madam Chair. Just briefly, in rebuttal, and just in further in statement, first of all, I do appreciate the Secretary coming and making her comments. And I will sit here and just tell you right publicly, Senate Bill 64 might be a better bill. But at the present time, I think it's February 7th today, we have no guarantee that Senate Bill 74 will be passed and it will be signed by the governor. We have no guarantee that that will take place. So until that time, I would urge you to move this bill forward, vote yes on this bill. I want something to be accomplished in this session that will give to the people of South Dakota a guarantee that there will not be a compressed chronological situation in which all four of these public hearings will be held in a compressed chronological period of time. I will state publicly and directly, if Senate Bill 64 is passed, it's passed the third hurdle, it's got through the Education Committee, if it's passed by the House representatives on the floor and signed by the governor, I will ask that this bill be withdrawn, because I think that in a sense Senate Bill 64 and this are very similar, not exact, but they're similar. We don't need both, but until one of those bills is passed, and it appears that Senate Bill 64 has a leg up in the race, and that's fine. I applaud the good senator from Lincoln County for bringing it. I stated publicly many times in newspapers and other things that as far as the Common Core and these multi-state standards, educational standards, I was the only, up until this session, I'm the only person that ever brought any bills on this subject, but that I was quite convinced it wasn't going to be the Jim Boland show alone in the 2014 session. So I would urge you to advance this bill, and at the same time, I'm more than willing to let the good senator and Senate Bill 64 be the vehicle if that's what the legislature chooses. But until Senate Bill 64 is passed by the House and signed by the governor, I would greatly appreciate if you'd keep this bill alive. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Representative. Questions from the committee? Any questions? Seeing none, the chair will close questions and move into discussion and our action. And I will make a chair comment before we do an action. The chair would prefer a motion to defer. I guess I can defer it, to actually defer it so that we can keep it going, but that it won't be actively moving through the system until we know Senate Bill 64 has gone through. So the chair will make that determination, and we will act on it at a later time.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. Well, we had some bills that we needed to do some action on, but as you can see, we have three people gone, so I'm going to shuffle just a little bit here to try to get through, and because some of the things will be important that we have everybody here for those votes, just like any other bill. I have a question for Representative Shane Fish. Do you have another committee that you're out of the committee? Okay. Okay, let's move forward with yours, though, and then we'll, because I know Representative Otten, or Senator Otten, was going to come back to do a recap of 63, but we also have people gone. So that's, so we will, with that, we will move forward with House Bill 1126, revise the persons authorized to countersign school board payments. Proponents.
Good morning, Madam Chair, members of the committee. Kyle Shane Fish, District 19. I bring to you HB 1126. This came about. Can I speak to the amendment and the bill?
You have an amendment?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. And I see that the page is distributing in them, correct?
Yep.
Okay. Go ahead and speak, and then we'll move it after we hear the testimony, so we can work on that later. Thanks.
Okay, this bill is to allow any board member that is designated by the school board to countersign the checks from the school. And the amendment is just to keep the word shall in there instead of may. Just I feel more comfortable with that language. Now, after school board meetings, they authorize the payments that the school makes. And after that, the president or the vice president is supposed to come into the business manager's office and, along with the business manager's signature, also put their signature on the check. This works as a checks and balance to, you know, to prevent fraud and also just to minimize possible errors. And to give you a few examples of some school districts, the Tyndall School, their vice president and president both work in Yankton, so it's a matter of convenience for them to come into the business manager's office and sign the checks. I think at Woonsocket, their president works for Coke, so he's on the road a lot. Winter and White River, their board presidents are ranchers, I believe, so they live a good distance away from town. And this bill will simply give the board the flexibility to authorize one of the other members of the board to go in and sign the check. And besides, a matter of convenience, the school board might just possibly would rather have a different member sign because they feel this particular board member would be a better fit to go in and do a better job of keeping a close watch on the taxpayer dollars. So with that, I ask for your favorable consideration on this bill, and thank you. I'll stand by for questions.
Thank you, Representative. Other proponents? Good morning.
Good morning, Madam Chair and members of the committee. It's good to see all of you this morning. I'm Wade Pogany. I'm representing the Associated School Boards of South Dakota, and I'm grateful to Representative Shane Fish for bringing this. We had talked about this as far as not just convenience for board members, but we feel very, very strongly that we continue to have good, sound internal controls on anything that's a warrant that happens from a school district. But this just gives some flexibility. It simply says that if the president and the board agree that someone else could be designated that is a sitting board member, they can sign the check, and we leave that discretion to the board. Sometimes there's a convenience issue, but really it designates, I think, the proper person, if the president can't, to be able to sign those checks. So we rise in favor of this. We think this gives boards some flexibility, and at the same time, it maintains our internal controls. And so we think this is a good bill, and we're grateful to the representative for bringing it.
Thank you. Proponents. Other proponents? Any other proponents for House Bill 1126? Seeing none, opponents. Are there any opponents? Seeing none, the chair closes testimony on House Bill 1126. We will waive the rebuttal. We don't need one. And we'll move into committee questions.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, okay, that's all right.
Ready for action.
Okay. He is going to move us onward today, isn't he? Any questions? Seeing none, we'll move into committee action.
Thank
and
you,
a discussion.
Madam Chair. I would move approval of the amendment.
Okay, there's been moved by Representative John, seconded by Of 1126, oh, of the amendment, is that right? Okay, the amendment, 1126TA, has been moved by Representative Johns, seconded by Representative Eklund. Any comments?
No.
Any other comments? Okay, this will be a voice vote. All those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. Okay, the amendment passes. 1126TA, which says on line page 1, line 8 of the printed bill, delete may and insert shall. Now we move on to action or discussion of House Bill 1126 as amended. Representative Tyler.
I move a due pass on 1126 as amended.
Oh, as amended?
Yep.
Correct? Okay, it's been moved by Representative Tyler and seconded by Representative Hager. Do pass as amended of House Bill 1126. Comments?
It just makes sense.
Thank you. Well, then, let's. Any other comments? Must be Friday. Did you stay out late last night? Okay, the Secretary will call the roll. The motion is do pass as amended of House Bill 1126.
Representatives Bartling.
Aye.
Campbell.
Aye.
Eklund.
Aye.
Hawks.
Aye.
Johns.
Aye.
Kaiser. Excused. May. Excused. Ring.
Aye.
Schaefer. Stevens. Tolson.
Aye.
Tyler.
Aye.
Wick is excused. Hager.
Aye.
And Sly.
Aye.
12 yay, 3 excused.
Okay. House Bill 1126 has passed as amended, and there's been a request for a consent calendar. Does anyone disagree with that? It is. We had talked about that before, and I looked it up. If it's amended, if there's any opposition to the in the testimony. So are we okay with that? Okay, House Bill 1126 will be placed on the consent calendar. We'll see. Okay, moving forward, we will work on pull Senate Bill 63 above the line. We had heard the testimony earlier. And I think we have someone in the room here to just kind of refresh our memory of what Senate Bill 63 is. It's protect the privacy of the records of individual students. And I see that we have Representative Stalzer who will come forward and kind of pull it together for us. As you could tell by the action on the last bill that we maybe need a little bit of that focusing here in our committee today. So welcome.
Thank you, Madam Chair and committee members. I'm Representative Jim Stalzer from District 11 in Sioux Falls. And this bill was designed to just protect the privacy of individual students' records, particularly so that they are not reported outside of those people specifically needing them, and also states that they can't personally identifiable information cannot be reported up to the Department of Ed with other than certain specific things that are needed for our funding and so on. There are 9 items listed that cannot be asked in an assessment or a survey or whatever without explicit permission of either an emancipated student over 18 or the parent or guardian. And then we amended it to that to allow Dr. Schaap from the Secretary of Education to add items that are similar to that list. And in a nutshell, that's pretty much what it does.
Thank you. Are there, we're not really going to open it to public testimony, but are there any things that you need clarified before we move in? We do have an amendment, 63SB, that will have to be moved also. So, Representative Stalzer, thank you.
Yeah, I just point out there was no opposition testimony at that time.
Either. Thank you for sharing that. Okay, the chair opens for committee discussion and/or action. Representative Tolson. Okay, it's been moved by Representative Tolson, seconded by Representative Bartling, to move Amendment 63-SB. I will read it because it's been a little bit of time. It says on page 3, line 11 of the Senate engrossed bill, after the quotation marks, insert, and this is what will be inserted, the list of information in subdivisions 1 through 9, and if you remember, that was the listing of the different survey that no one would have to be required to submit that. The list of information in the subdivisions of 1 to 9 inclusive is not an exclusive list. Just makes it so that there can be other things added into that if necessary. The Secretary of the Department of Education may add to the list of the information in subdivisions 1 to 9 inclusive other data, facts, or information that is of a similar nature that a student may not be required to disclose. That's the amendment of 63-SB. Is there any discussion or comments on the amendment before we move to the vote? Okay, this will be a voice vote. All those in favor of Amendment 63-SB will say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The amendment carries. Now we'll move into action of Senate Bill 63. Representative Bartling.
Madam Chair, I move do pass as amended.
Okay, it's been moved by Representative Bartling and seconded by Representative Eklund, do pass as amended. Comments?
Yes. Thank you, Madam Chair. I just think this is good policy for the privacy and the protection of the students' public records, and I think it will help to calm fears that personal private information is getting out there, and it will just give some clarity and certainty. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Other comments? One part that the chair likes is on the very last part on page 4, where it talks about that the department shall develop security measures and procedures. Something that's happened, and I've shared this illustration a little bit, that how we have our data and how we keep it has evolved over time. It used to be when we would get information on, say, test scores or other information, you would hand one sheet to the parent and the rest would go into a file cabinet. And then we got the internet, and so then we did some within the schools. Now we have longitudinal data systems, we have clouds, and the access is a lot different. And what's happened is that we haven't kept up with the security and the protection of that data. I am on a national data committee, and that's one of the areas that they said that South Dakota is weak in, is in the governance of protection and security of our data. So I appreciate this bill, and I would urge your support. So with that, any other comments? The secretary will call the roll. The motion is do pass as amended of Senate Bill 63. All those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, the same sign.
Representatives Bartling.
Aye.
Campbell.
Aye.
Eklund.
Aye.
Hawks.
Aye.
Johns.
Aye.
Kaiser is excused. May excused. Ring.
Aye.
Schaefer.
Aye.
Stevens.
Aye.
Tolson.
Aye.
Tyler.
Aye.
Wick excused. Hager.
Aye.
Sly.
Aye.
We have 12 yay, 3 excused.
Senate Bill 63 has passed as amended.
House Bill 1002, an act to revise the state aid to general education formula to include an adjustment for certain school districts that increase the length of the school term. Is there any proponent testimony?
Thank you, Madam Chair and members of House Education Committee. This is, I think, the last bill that we have that came out of the interim education funding formula study. My name is Jacqueline Sly. I'm from District 33, and I'm in the House of Representatives. This bill was looking at a way to increase the length of the school term for school districts. We heard, as we were traveling around the state and also as we heard testimony, that one of the areas is schools felt they didn't have enough time. So as we started exploring what could possibly be done to help support schools, one idea started floating around that we would pay schools to increase the length of their school year and then work to incentivize those to continue increasing it. And the original bill had where each year they would add 12 additional contact hours, and it would happen over a period of 5 years. But I will share some things that we discovered. The committee knew that the minimum number of hours for grades 1 through 3 is 875 hours, contact hours. That's based on 5 hours a day at 175 days a year. That the state law says that we have to exclude recess and lunch. For grades 4 through 12, it's 962 and a half hours, and that's based on a 5.5-hour day and 175 days. This came out of the time we went to contact hours when schools wanted to go to four-day weeks. Used to be, say, 175 days. We knew everybody went to school that number of days. Well, something that we discovered as we were trying to seek data for this and information is that there's not a standard reporting other than recess and lunch that is excluded. So we didn't know then if school districts were counting their passing time for like the high school. And if you can think, if you have six periods in a day and you have 5 minutes in between each class period, that could be reported as 30 additional minutes that really isn't contact time for students. So it was a little bit confusing, and we felt that maybe the data wasn't completely accurate because the Department of Ed graciously researched the hours for each individual school district by going into school documents and to look and see. So then we didn't know if it was common or not. So that was a challenge that we had with this bill. The other thing we found is that there is a really wide variation in South Dakota. We have some school districts, and I'll take the grades 4 to 12 because that's one of the categories. Let's say the high schools. There are a handful of schools that have under 1,000 hours of contact time, according to the data that we could get. And there are a handful of schools that have above 1,200 contact hours. So that's a variation of 200 hours according to the reports that we could get. But I would say that most districts fell into the range between 6 hours and 6.25 contact hours for the majority. So with the bill, we ended up then, we didn't know for sure if our data was clean. And so that was a challenge. So then we thought, well, if you're in school, you have 1,200 contact hours, and you're asking them to add on 12 more hours each year over a five-year period, is that really right? But then you have those on the bottom that they really could potentially move up a lot more than that. And so that was another thing that we were struggling with. Well, part of the desire of the committee was to have some form of accountability also to show that does it really make a difference by adding more contact hours onto your school year? And you and I know that just by adding more time isn't going to make a difference, but it's how you use that time, and that's so we were looking at that. And as a measure, we looked at the school performance index. We call it SPI, and that's new with the Department of Education and with the state through the waiver. But what happened is we're also piloting Smarter Balance this year, so we wouldn't have any data from that of student progress because it's an entirely new assessment. Well, then the next year would be our baseline. So then we didn't have anything for the first year of this bill or the second year. You can see where I'm going, right? And so we wrestled with this bill. I've probably wrestled more than some of the committee members trying to get it so that it would be workable. And we decided we needed another approach. So with that lack of solid reporting for contact hours and lack of data, that's really for the accountability in that one. We decided that for right now, the timing wasn't right for this bill, so I'm requesting that we table this bill.
Thank you, Representative Sly. I think we'll just go ahead and welcome you back to the desk. And with that, the chair will accept a motion to table House Bill 1002. Moved by Representative Schaefer, seconded by Representative Tyler. There is no debate on that motion. We will move into a roll call vote. The motion on hand is to table HB 1002. The secretary will call the roll. All those in favor vote aye. All those opposed, no.
Representatives Bartling.
Aye.
Campbell.
Aye.
Eklund.
Aye.
Hawks.
Aye.
Johns.
Aye.
Kaiser excused. May excused. Ring.
Aye.
Schaefer.
Aye.
Stevens.
Aye.
Tolson.
Aye.
Tyler.
Aye.
Wick is excused. Hager.
Aye.
Sly.
Aye.
We have 12 yay, 3 excused.
HB 1002 is tabled. Next on our calendar is HB 1005. Representative Tyler made a motion for reconsideration. Because three of our committee members are missing, we will just go ahead and defer until another day. That was a very close vote, and it was successfully brought back up. So we will discuss it probably on Monday. Is there anything else?
With that, oh, the jerky. The pages, would you come and please distribute the jerky? This was from last week, and I believe I heard a phone go off earlier today. Has that person already escaped or not? Or was it a computer, or will no one admit to it? I should have stopped the hearing, but I heard it. Was it Dr. Pogany? Denial. Typical response to when you're caught.
Are you the guard?
Are there other... if you did, if you know that you did, the policy here is that if your phone goes off or your that computer noise goes off, that you bring jerky the next time. So if you want to come up and see me afterwards, if you want to fess up, you can. If not, the chair will keep my ear out for you the next time that you're here. Having no further business... Oh. Do we have something else? Okay, the chair calls for a motion to adjourn. Representative Stevens moves, seconded by Ring. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed?